Good morning. Wonderful to have you here this morning. It's one of those. Yesterday was kind of an interesting day. We were out in State College, and it seems like we had about three or four weather patterns all at once. So we had hail, snow, rain, sunshine. Oh, maybe wind too. You know, so it's it was one of those things. Going to go, what is next? And you know, I don't know if you've ever been to Wegmans or not like that, but be careful that Subway shop, because when you order a medium, it's actually large. And you know the old saying, your eyes are bigger than your stomach. Well, this big old thing looked pretty big, and I said, I can't eat all this. I did have a little bit of help, so praise the Lord. Today we continue on in our journey with Christ. You know, he's walking to the cross, and there's a reason for why he is going to the cross, and we're going to be looking a little bit more about that. I don't know if you've ever been to this memorial before down south of here, and about, I think it's about 85 miles. This is Flight 93 back in... And what, December 11th, 2001, it was an ordinary day until four jetliners went off and terrorists took them over. Three hit their targets, one did not. And this is the one that did not. And these people on the plane, and one of them was a Todd Beamer, I guess they were on their phones calling, they were hearing news, what's going on. And they decided that they had to take over the airplane from the terrorists who already took it over on them. And so they, I guess maybe at the last words that he said or heard on the phone, it's like, let's roll. And I don't know if you can see it, but that plaque says that, it let's roll. And so they must have at least got into the cockpit and it caused the plane to crash and killed everyone on the plane. 40 passengers plus crew members and the terrorists as well. And you kind of wonder, well, wow, what sacrifice? You know, how can it be that they would do that? You know, and we kind of look at that and we kind of go, well, we know another that did something even more. I mean, they sacrificed their lives for people for a short time and for maybe a certain amount of people. But there's one who we're talking about today who sacrificed his life for all people, for all eternity. And that's what we're looking at today, that powerful word of God and all of that. This is working. Oops, you know what? It would help if I turned it on. One of those things that you just kind of forget, you know, and then it comes down to true, you know, what Jesus has said, you know, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So the motivation of it all for the people of Flight 93, and for Jesus, it comes down to that one word, love. Love. Love makes us do strange things. Love makes us do audacious things. Love can make us even give up our own lives for others. Amazing love that we've seen on the cross. And this, again, you know, that stanza three, I just caught me because it shows where we are at. You know, before, you know, what Christ has done for us. Before Jesus did this, we were all enemies of God. We were all alienated from God. We were all condemned to hell. Our eternity was not looking good. And so when I looked at this, it says, long my imprisoned spirit lay. Yeah, I felt that for 29 years. Fast bound in sin and nature's night. Oh, yeah. I don't know about you. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray, and then all of a sudden, a little bit of brightness came. The gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done for all. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I don't know if you remember that feeling or not. If you go back to that time when you came before Christ, And he just said, oh, Jesus, forgive me my sins. I will follow you wherever you go. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Amazing love. Yeah, that's the only way we can describe it. How can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Powerful words. Powerful words for us to remember because of the love of Christ that he has shown for us. I'm going to try to do this a little bit, but I need a little help because sometimes my memory kind of skips me, so I have to be careful. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. See, when you talked about, when you see this, when this song that Charles Wesley wrote, you know, he talks about that God would die for me. And some people say, well, Jesus should be in there. Why not put Jesus, you know, for thou, my Jesus died for me. And Charles Wesley is saying, well, listen to this. And from his heart, he's kind of saying, well, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing has been made that was made that has been. Nothing was made that has been made. The Son of the image of the invisible God. The firstborn of all creation. For in him, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, things that are invisible and visible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. But in these last days, as John writes, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This is the Apostle John. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. It's kind of amazing if you look at the Bible. All that is from the first chapter. Chapter 1 of Genesis, chapter 1 of John, chapter 1 of Colossians, chapter 1 of Hebrews, chapter 1 of 1 John. In the beginning, there was God. And God is Jesus. And that's why Charles Wesley put that down. There's that wonderful Trinity. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the one that God, as the Father, is putting up front. You know, just like that bronze staff in the desert for the Israelites who were bitten by the snakes. And all they had to do is look on that and be saved. Well, the Father lifts up the Son, Jesus Christ, for us to be saved. How can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Just think about that. the creator of the universe. All things were created for him, through him, by him. He holds all things together, sustaining everything. Even our own little bodies, all those little molecules and things that held together by Christ himself. Otherwise, we would just dissolve into nothingness. I think of this God, and I kind of go, well, he surely came here in flesh to judge me, as so many think. Well, surely, if not to judge me, then to condemn me for my sinfulness, my waywardness. Surely, he must chastise me for my folly, my stupidity. Surely, he must shame me for being a sinner. Oh, at least he should have came to abandon me, and if not, at least at the end, to destroy me. The King of all kings, the creator of everything. How can I stand before him? If you look at all these people who have come before God, John himself had to fall down at his feet. Peter, when he recognized that Christ was the Messiah, fell down and said, get away from me, I'm a sinner. I'm dirty. Isaiah, when he met the Father and all of his glory, it's going, oh, I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. Ezekiel falls flat on his face before God's presence. Couldn't stand up without him strengthening him. This awesome God came in flesh for us because of love, that amazing love. We have nothing to do with it. We are nothing before him. Dust, and we will become dust again. But no, the good news is this. Now, he didn't come to condemn or judge or chastise or shame or abandon or destroy. No, he came to serve, not to be served. He came to be a ransom, to die for us, to save as many as he can. That's why he came. That love, that amazing love that we see on the cross. And Charles Wesley is doing his best to try to understand, singing, try to praise him, just trying to thank him for who he is, just being in awe of him. But our words and our songs just cannot catch it all. But it doesn't mean that we can't continue trying. You know, I was reading this one part about that song, and this one, J. Todd Billings, I was reading his message, and it says, this quote from him, it says, this mysterious wonder is at the heart of our faith. See, it's okay to that God has mysteries. Did you know that? It's okay to wonder about him. I know even in our Friday night group, our life group, we're kind of going, wow, God, what is God? Why is he doing this? What is he doing? And wonders of the salvation, of the resurrection, of what does that look like, being in heaven, or the resurrected bodies when we come together, all that, and you're just in wonder, we just can't explain it well enough. It's all right, because God is awesome. He's the creator of all things. If we're not in wonder of him, there's something wrong. We put him in a box like so many others. Can't do it. See, it's at the heart of our faith. The holy God has taken us, our flesh, in Jesus Christ, who suffered, died, and rose for our sake. Our words are laughably inadequate, an expression of the depths of his mystery, the mystery of God's covenant faithfulness. Well said by him. Well said. ungraspable. Not only is it unthinkable, but I don't know if this is a word or not. Ungraspable. You know, you can't seem to get a hold of it because it's so bad. You know, and that Ephesians, when read that, Randy read, you know, that part about to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ and know the love that surpasses knowledge. It's, can't get around it. It is so amazing. It's so wonderful. It's something that we need to ponder when we walk, you know, there's this season, but not just this season of Easter season, but every day we should be pondering these things, this amazing love of Christ. We should be thinking about it, reminding ourselves about it daily. And it takes not just one person, but it takes power, and it takes all of the saints, all of his people to come together to be able to start to even come together to grasp that love, the depth of the love of Christ. Amazing love. And then when you finally fall down on your knees, when you finally say, I can't understand you enough, and you're just so amazing, but I got to say something, then you break out in doxology like this. Oh, the depth of the riches. Let's say it together. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. You know, have you ever felt that welling up within you? You just don't know what to say. You can't have the words enough. Something just, you know, and then you just go, you start, then that's where the Holy Spirit takes over. See those groans within our hearts to start to speak to God himself. Because we just can't really fathom it. A lot of people go, oh, Jesus, he was just a mystery, or he's just, you know, they're just, all this is just stories they just wrote, and they're not even true. You know, but you know what? You talk to me, you talk to many of us, you'll hear that it is true, because we've seen the changes in our lives. We have felt this type of feeling to where we're falling down, and we finally say, you are God, and how can it be that you even love me? How unsearchable it is. How can I even think about telling you what to do? How can I even think of even saying anything bad about you or condemning you? How can I even think that I can even do something better than you or have better timing than you or can even figure out how this and that happens and follow my plan, my kingdom building, before a holy God falls apart and goes into dust? And that's where it should be. Because again, I say it again and again, when you read the Word of God, if you're not humbled, if you don't understand that we need to humble ourselves before this holy God, this creator of the universe, and start to grasp how big he is, how great he is, boy. You know, we need to. Because when you try to stand up against him, he's going to knock you down. And if you sometimes we need to be knocked down. It's good for us to sometimes get knocked down, for us to finally know our place. And praise the Lord for that he knocked me down. Yeah. Praise the Lord for that. Because I tell you something, he didn't, I wouldn't be here. I'm not even sure if I'd be alive. Yeah. We have an amazing God, brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't understand. This just kind of makes me go, wow. So I remember one of our friends, I think it was last year, maybe around the Easter season, he said something like this: if I hear that Jesus died for me one more time, and I don't know what the threat was, I don't know what he threatened, maybe not to eat ice cream anymore, I don't know. And I kind of thought about that for a while ago. Oh, how short-sighted. How short-sighted that is. How strange that he doesn't quite understand. Because, no, I want to be like this guy. Give me more, please! You know, people say, oh, got to talk about Jesus again during Easter or throughout the year. Why? I need to hear day after day. I don't know about you. I need to hear that Jesus died for me day after day, if not moment to moment, to remind me of who I am and who he is and what it's all about. Because otherwise, my heart starts to grow cold and hard, and I start building my own kingdom again. The world starts mattering more to me than Christ. My own self, my selfishness, my self-ambition starts getting in the way. No, give me more. I need to hear more about Jesus, how he died for me, and how amazing that is. Because I can't grasp it, but it amazes me when I hear it. And I start to remember, yes, you did this for me. How? How can it be? Why would you do it? But it all comes down to that love, that amazing love that he showed us, that he decided to be faithful to, that he mentioned so long ago. He created us for a relationship. God so loved the world, yeah, that he gave his one and only Son. That's a high price. We talked about that before. And whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's a wonderful reward. But you can't really grasp it in your own power. You need something more. You need what's called the Holy Spirit. You need to follow Christ. You need to open your hearts. And you need to say, yes, Jesus, I am a sinner. Just like Peter, falling down saying, get away from me. I'm a sinner. I'm dirty. Get away from me. And then when Jesus reached down to him and says, hey, Peter, don't be afraid. Follow me. And what did Peter do? He followed him. Not perfectly. But he followed. Just like us. You know, not perfectly, but we're following. And I just encourage you, continue to follow. Continue to remember this love, this amazing love that he showed to us. And to walk in it. And to be thankful in it. And to tell others about it. See, those people on Flight 93... they counted the cost. Remember we talked about that? And they felt that that love for the people, you know, they didn't know exactly where this plane was going. I don't think they knew. But they said, we got to help. We don't want other people to die. We're willing to give up our own lives for them. No, that's pretty powerful. I don't know. I can't really understand that myself. And that's just man to man. But then when you talk about God coming, the creator of the universe coming and dying for us, sinners, enemies, it's amazing. It's amazing love. It comes down to this revelation, you know, where Jesus himself says, you know, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now look, look. I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Does that give you hope? That love doesn't just end at the cross. It's just a beginning, a new beginning for each one of us, a new life, a new start, a new family, a new culture, a new kingdom. Everlasting life that he offers all of us. So it comes back down to another kind of a doxology or something, but really an encouragement or exhortation like this. Guard your hearts. Stand firm in a faith. Be strong. Be courageous, like those people on Flight 93. Be courageous like Jesus going to the cross. And do all things in love. Let's pray. Father God, again, we praise you and thank you that we have you as our Father. An amazing love that you've shown to us, we cannot really fathom it. But Lord, help us to keep reaching, keep grasping more and more as people of Christ, so we can understand and this love will just flow into our lives and just changes more and more. And Lord, where our sin, we hate it more and more, Lord God, and that we'll desire to commune with you more than this world. And Lord, that we'll come together with others, that we can try more and more to grasp this love of yours, to understand it, to live it, to experience it, so then we can share it with others who are still bound up, still in that prison, still haven't really seen the light yet. May we speak life and light into their lives by your power, by the power and the wonders of the Holy Spirit, not in our own strength. Carry us forth, Father, we pray, and may you receive all the glory and praise and honor. And pray this in Jesus Christ's name. And all of his people say, amen. Amen.